getting the microphone so that she can say,
Don't spill your coffee.
We need to turn that around on you, Monica, so we can see how you're...
No! Throw me under the Jesus bus like that. Look at you. We do have a couple prayer requests this morning. Prayers for Joe Pyatt. Neva had to take him to ER this morning for horrible abdomen pain the last several days. They got so bad last night that he had to take some morphine. And he's still hurting, so they're probably at ER right now.
Yeah.
So, and then prayers for Chris Clark, who had a heart attack yesterday. He was medflighted to Oklahoma Heart Hospital and had a stent placed successfully. And my sister's doing great, y'all.
All right.
She had to come home. They put some draining tubes there. And everything is going so smooth.
Yay.
Hallelujah. Right. I was gonna hand you the microphone.
How about have me the list? I can remember Joe, but I don't remember the name. Chris Clark. Okay, we want to remember Chris as well. So, Father, I just want to lift up Joe before you, and I just ask that you will be with him. He's had this abdomen pain for several days, and pain has continued to increase. So, Father, I'm just praying that you will be with him. Lord, first of all, we pray that you will alleviate the pain, but also that whatever's causing the pain, Lord, that you will bring a healing touch. Because we know that if the source of the pain is gone, then the pain will be gone. And so, Father, we're praying for your healing touch that only you can bring. Yes, we understand and we know that doctors are valuable, but Lord, you give them the wisdom, and Lord, we're not limited just to what the doctors say or what the doctors can do. We know that ultimately you are the one who's in charge. You're the one who's in control. So bring healing to him. Touch him. Lord, just remove this pain, we pray. And then we also pray for Chris Clark, who had this heart attack yesterday. We're thankful that he was successfully medflighted to the heart hospital. Thankful that they were able to put this stent in. Lord, we just pray that as he recovers from this, his recovery will be quick. Again, we say thank you for the doctors and the knowledge that you have given them that enables them to be able to do this. But Lord, again, we just leave him into your hands knowing that you are the one who brings healing to him and that you are watching over him and you are with him. We pray and we are thankful that Monica's sister's doing well. Lord, we just want to give you the praise for that. And Lord, we praise you for all those answered prayers, some we hear of and many that we do not. But we know as we pray, you work. And so we say thank you. And we leave all these things into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, located 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. She will not just bless your shoes off, y'all. She'll bless your shoes and socks off. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Bar Dice & Ford in Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barbara Dyson difference. BarbaraDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The source of your guidelines is something that should be examined. It has to be greater than the latest greatest fad. Our world turns on popular opinion. We tend to want what everyone else has. You can choose what you want, but you cannot choose the consequences of what you want. Guidelines will help you make the right choice. The source of your guidelines will determine what your life produces.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Pastor Joe Thompson. His title is Think on These Things. Would you, before we get started again, would you like to share some information about your church?
Sure thing. One, we are located at 501 West 1st Street, just up the street here from where we're at right now, about 3 blocks. But if you don't know where that's at, just go to the west side of Homeland on 3rd Street, turn north, and go 2 blocks, and you'll run into us, almost literally. Our church almost sits out into the street. That's because it was built. We sit actually on the original corner from where the church was founded in 1918. And our building is actually, according to code, too close to the street, but it was allowed to build back there because that's where the original building was. So when I say you almost literally run into us, you really do almost literally run into us. We have a Sunday school at 9:45 on Sunday mornings. Morning worship is at 10:45. And then we're going to be starting this month a Tuesday noon study, probably not next week, but the following week, which I believe will be the 12th. Not positive on that date. So if you want to come by at noon, we'll just have a little bit of lunch, and you can have a little study we're going to be doing. We'll be doing that, and then also on the 18th, on Monday night the 18th, we're doing a small group study called Transformed. So that will be on Tuesday evening after work. Again, we do a meal, and then we have a study. That one lasted a little bit longer. Depending on how much discussion there is, it may run anywhere from an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and 45 minutes, a little more in depth, but that's what will be happening. So let you know that as well. All right. Well, we're going to jump back into what Paul is saying. Think on these things, what you think about is who you become. Paul's helping us to understand that who we become in Christ largely has to do with how we think and what we contemplate in life. And so we're going to continue on with what he's saying in as we move on towards the end of this list. And he says that we need to reflect on what is admirable and praiseworthy. Now, to admire something is to see its beauty. You go to see a fantastic building and you go, oh, that's beautiful. This morning, as I was opened up my iPad, some memories always want to pop up, you know, on the date of what you were. And so I had some pictures pop up from when we were in Scotland about 4 years ago, and I'm going, you know, there's some really beautiful buildings there. and some historic buildings, but see the beauty. They have a beautiful garden park there, you know. So you admire the things of beauty. And we admire the things of beauty, and we see things around us. We need to reflect on the beauty of God's world. But that's not the most important thing that we need to reflect on. We need to reflect on the beauty of God in our life and what he's doing in our life. We need to see what God has done and is doing in our lives on a daily basis. And maybe we need to just take time every evening to sit down and think, God, what has been beautiful in my life today? And even in times of discouragement and sorrow, if we will take time to deliberately look back and say, what has been beautiful today? Maybe it was just a picture that you saw. Maybe somebody was kind to you and did something that blessed you. But we can admire the beauty of what God has been doing in our lives. And ultimately, we need to remember that the real beauty is that we were once doomed for hell, but now the beauty of heaven is our eternal home. And if you have nothing else to admire, just think about that and admire that fact. And when you do that, then praise is the result of reflecting on the beauty of what God has done. We look around us, we consider God's handiwork in creation, we just need to praise him. Beautiful sunrise, beautiful sunset. I love going to places like Yellowstone or Glacier National Park and just seeing the wonders of God. And you don't have to go there, by the way, but that's a couple of my favorite places to go. But drive by a lake and look at how beautiful that is. We have one or two here in Oklahoma. As a matter of fact, I believe that Oklahoma has more man-made lakes than any other state in the nation. I'm not correct on that. May not be correct, but that's my understanding. So drive by a lake. See what's there. Consider his creation. Praise him. Praise him for your salvation. That's probably pretty important, I would think, because as I said earlier, you're bound for hell. Now heaven's your home. So you can praise him for that. And you can praise him for that life that he has given you. Instead of having stinking thinking, you have heaven thinking. Mm-hmm. And your attitude changes. Your outlook on life changes. And give God the glory for all that he's done in your life. Maybe you haven't had a very good life, but maybe as you've begun to live for God, you see one thing that's been changed. And you go, God, still got a lot of things wrong in my life, but I'm going to praise you for this one thing that you've done. And as you begin to focus on that, you begin to see God changing other things in your life, and you can give him the praise and the glory for that. And then after all of these things, Paul tells us that we are to put into practice all those things that we've meditated on. He says, you know, here that whatever you have learned, received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Mm-hmm. The God of peace will be with you. And, you know, you haven't really learned something until you put it into practice. I took a lot of math when I was in high school. The reason being is that I was hoping to get in the Air Force Academy. I was hoping to fly. God had other plans, by the way. But I took a lot of math. Don't ask me to use most of it now. I can still add, subtract, divide, and multiply. But some of the rest of that, I wouldn't even know where to begin. You know why I wouldn't know where to begin? I never put it into practice. Mm-hmm. Never put it into practice. And the same is true for our Christian life. To become who God wants you to be, you have to think on the things of God. When you think on the things of God, then you're able to put those into practice. And this only happens when we deliberately take the time to do so. And I've already talked about this, but we have to have more than a Bible verse a day. We have to have more than just a quote a day. It means that if we're going to put into practice, and we have to meditate on the things of God, but the only way we do that is by spending time with God in God's Word and with God's people. And when we spend time in God's Word, we learn about what God wants us to do. When we spend time with God's people, we have the opportunity to put that into practice with His people. But not only that, but we're spending time with His people so that we can put into practice beyond His people what we know in the world. Mm-hmm. Because God uses His people to minister in the world. So that's highly, highly important. So we need to think on these things, and then we have to put into practice those things. Again, you can know something, but you don't really know it until you use it. Mm-hmm. And that's so important. So maybe we need to just stop every once in a while and ask ourselves a question, you know. What am I doing to become the person that God wants me to be? How much time am I spending thinking about the things of God? How much time am I spending in His Word? How much time am I practicing what I'm learning? And if you think about that, then you might ask the question, who do I know that I can help become a better person for God? Because we're practicing what we have learned. And the only way you can practice what you have learned is to have a relationship with someone and help them to become a better person, either to know God initially and then to become the person God wants them to be, or maybe they already know God, but you are helping them to become another person. And hopefully they're helping you to become another person, as well, a better person as well. Not just a better person in general, but a better Christian, living out the life that God has called you. So we need to say, what can I do to help them? And how can they help me? A couple of questions that I think this verse of Scripture, or these two verses of Scripture, ask us. What am I doing to become the better person that God wants me to be? And then, who do I know that I can help become a better person, and how can they help me? So really, it comes down to what I alluded to back at the very beginning. The most important thing in life is not what you do, but who you become. God is less concerned about what you do than who you are. So let's quit focusing on making our primary focus on what we are doing. What we do is important, don't get me wrong. But what you do should be an outgrowth of who you are. And if what you are doing is an outgrowth of what other people think of you, if what you're doing is an outgrowth because of this thing will make me so much money, if what you're doing is an outgrowth of this will give me prominence, if that's your motivation, that's the wrong motivation. The right motivation is, who am I in God first and foremost? And then what am I doing as a result of who I am in God? Because who you are will come out of what you believe is truth and what is right. And then need to remember that to live the truth, you have to know the truth. Mm-hmm. And Paul says, think on these things. Think on the things that are right. Think on the things that are just. Think on the things that are good. Think on the things that are noble. Do the things that, or think on the things that will enable you to become the person. And really, if you want to know how to live God's way, think on the things of God, and you will know how to live God's way. Mm-hmm. I can't sum it up any better than that. Think on the things of God, and you will know how to live God's way. And really, that's about all I can say for this morning. I hope that it's blessed those who have been listening today. And if it has, praise the Lord. But remember, think on these things if you want your life to be a life of meaning and a life that pleases God. Monica, you look like you have some deep thoughts to add.
At my other place of employment, I recently have been, I dealt with like some persecution. And so this morning really helped me count it all joy. The Holy Spirit reminded me persecution and trials, count it joy. Count it all joy.
Uh-huh.
You know? And in the footnotes for Philippians 4:8 and 4:9, I want to read those because I read those and it really settled my soul, because when someone says something that goes against who I am trying to become, when someone speaks against that falsely or exaggerates a situation, it bothers me, because I then sit there and I try to reflect and remember and recall all the words that were said and try to replay it in my head, you know, the whole situation, to see where I was out of line and where I could have done it better. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I could have I should have done it better, y'all. And the probably ain't going to cut it. When you know it, you know it. And on the plus side, I didn't throat punch nobody. Nobody went to the hospital. I didn't body slam nobody. I was a little perturbed. However, I stayed where I needed to be and just did what I was supposed to do.
Be slow to speak, slow to anger. I think that's in the word somewhere.
Yeah, man. But it's a process.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And for someone who for somebody who used to love to fight, I mean, you give me a reason to throw Duke. Come on, give me a reason, you know?
Yep.
And for God to bring you out of that and help you learn how to fight the good fight is a process. And I'm in the process, y'all.
Progress is progress. Celebrate all the victories.
Yes. So I want to read this, because this is really good. It really kind of lit my spirit up a little bit and helped me, you know. So in the footnotes of Philippians 4:8 and 9, it says, what we put into our minds determines what comes out in our words and actions. Hallelujah. Paul tells us to program our minds with thoughts that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Do you have problems with impure thoughts and daydreams? Examine what you are putting into your mind through television, internet, books, conversations, movies, and magazines. Replace harmful input with wholesome material. Above all, say it again. Above all. One more time. Above all. Okay, go on. Read God's word and pray. Read God's word and pray. One more time. Yes, sir. Read God's word and pray. Ask God to help you focus your mind on what is good and pure. It takes practice, but it can be done. Four, nine. It's not enough to hear or read the word of God or even to know it well. We must also put it into practice. How easy is it to listen to a sermon and forget what the preacher said? How easy is it to read the Bible and not think about how to live differently? How easy is it to debate what a passage means and not live out that meaning? Exposure to God's word is not enough. It must lead to obedience.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of reminds me of the phrase, the GIGO principle. You ever heard of that? G-I-G-O.
No.
It can work two ways. Most people talk about the GIGO principle as being garbage in, garbage out. Yeah.
Okay.
That you know, you get garbage in, out comes garbage.
Yes.
But you can also take that and reverse it and say God in, God out. And that's really what happens when we think on these things. We're thinking about the things of God, and then the God-like character and the God-like qualities are what come out of us. And so which one of those, which way are you going to put that principle into action in your life? Is it going to be the garbage, or is it going to be the God side of it? And we just have to remember that what we put into our life is what comes out of our life. And that's what Paul's saying. Think on these things. Think on the things that are good, the things that make a difference. Because if you put that in, that's going to come out. You know, a lot of people have difficulty when somebody comes against them. But the thing to remember is that we have to stop and think where that person is at before we react to what they are saying to us. And understand that if they're being negative or if they're being ungodly, they may be a Christian, but they're going through a difficult time even. And so what, saying we have to stop and think, where is that at? And our immediate reaction is want to reply, but the best thing we can do sometimes is to shut up and say, okay, God, do I need to reply, first of all? Mm-hmm. And second, if I do need to reply, how do I need to reply? Because if we'll stop and do that, 90% plus of the time. We may not diffuse the situation per se, but we do not make the situation any worse. And I would say over 50% of the time, it becomes an opportunity for us to actually make a difference in that other person's life. We may not see the difference immediately, but it, the way we react is impresses a person. There's an impression that's left there, and they have to think on it. Mm-hmm. We may never see the result of that, but they have to think on it. And so I've said this before, but I think it comes back to this idea as well. The first person to raise their voice in an argument loses the argument, even if they're right. And so when somebody's coming against me, I just stop and think and say, you know, okay. And the best thing you can do when a person is coming to you is just sit there and listen. And I've been in several situations where people have come to me and said this. And basically, here's how the conversation ends. I've heard what you said. I know there's some concerns with you. I don't agree with everything that you said. I'll take the concerns that are valid and work with those. We'll see where it comes out. I sit for 2 hours one time listening in a guy's car, listening to all of his complaints and what have you. I said to him, thank you for sharing with me. I don't agree with you a lot on this, but I thank you for sharing with me. Change the that's all I said. Yeah. Change the relationship totally because I sat and listened to him. So, things that Paul says, things that God gives us are real ways to deal with people. It's not going to change everybody. We know that. Depending on a person's, where their heart is and everything. But they're definitely not going to change if we automatically attack them without listening to them.
Yeah, we automatically reach out and throat punch them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the
right
thing.
Kudos to you for not doing that.
That's not the right thing to do, y'all. Ask me how I know.
So, yeah. But Paul gives us some really good thoughts on how to deal with that.
All it's right. A process. It don't quit process. The process. Keep right. going.
It is a process.
Keep.
I'll tell you when you get to quit the process. When you take your last breath.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
This was a good word this morning, and I think it's pretty timely, too.
I needed it. I needed it. You know, the Lord always brings the food I need. Mm-hmm. He never fails. He's so faithful. Mm-hmm. And it just blows my mind. It's just so refreshing, you know, to know that I know that if I seek him and don't take hold of things that are coming at me, if I don't take hold of it, if I just keep my hands open, I've learned that keeping my hands open and not clenching the fist is a lot better response than the reacting of a throat punch. I guess it's called maturing in the spirit. Is that what they call it?
It is called maturing in the spirit. And the one other thing that I thought of is that, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with emotionalism and praising the Lord and what have you. You know, I raise my hands singing and all that. Wish more people would do that in our worship, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to be careful that in our emotionalism, we don't carry that into situations where being emotional will worsen the situation rather than help the situation. Again, it comes back to the first person that raises their voice in an argument loses because the other person quits listening. Mm-hmm. And so we need to, there's a time to praise and there's a time to be calm. And when we're dealing with people, the first thing we need to pray is, Lord, give me a calm spirit in dealing with this individual so that I can minister to them so that the end result will be that you receive the praise. Now, I hope that's something that we can learn as we live life.
That's good. So, I really enjoyed getting to see you in person now. I always enjoyed listening, even when I was on the other side. You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again, it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and Pastor Joe Thompson. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.